prophet Ezekiel. And I'll begin reading with the very first verse. And I'll just read on until I get good and ready to stop. Amen. Let's start with Ezekiel chapter 47, verse number 1. Amen. Brother Marshall, thank you for striping our parking lot. Amen. Thank you so very much. We had some other work we were going to do, and we did work. We just didn't get accomplished what we had set out to do, but we'll attempt it another day. I appreciate all of you and your willingness to help at the house of the Lord. Thank you so very much. And Ezekiel wrote these words. Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house and the south side of the altar. Then brought me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles, and he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. And again he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The waters were to the loins. Afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river, and I could not pass over. For the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. Hallelujah. Everybody say a river that could not be passed over. Amen. I'd like to preach to you tonight about the marvel of momentum. The marvel of momentum. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. The word momentum means the measure of motion or the velocity of mass. It's something that starts, and it has it's making progress, and all of us have had experiences with momentum. I told you not too long ago I was making some momentum across the back and didn't have the lights on. And I collided with that inert object back there we call a sound booth. And my momentum ceased for a moment. And hit me right in the mouth. Amen. So momentum can be reversed quickly. In some cases, but in some cases it cannot. Amen. That's the marvel of momentum. When we were in Venezuela, South America, city of Valletta, we were in a park there, and all these people were looking up in this tree. So, you know, when people are looking at a tree, you want to look in the tree, see what's going on. So we looked up there, and we saw a sloth in the tree. Anybody ever seen a sloth? A sloth looks like a monkey. I guess maybe that's the family's from, but a sloth is called that because of the way he moves. He makes dried paint look fast. He's a very slow moving creature. He moves his hand kind of like this. You can just barely see that he's moving. And then he'll get a hold of something and it'll take him a while to grip it. And then it takes a while to let go. And you can sleep for 10 minutes and there hadn't been much progress. He's very, very... So there's not much momentum going on where there's a sloth. And that's the way he lives his life. When he chews, he eats leaves in the tree. And he just... I mean, it takes him forever to chew. You just want to help the poor thing. Give him something. Speed him up. You just feel sorry for him. I'm sure God has a reason for making sloths. I'm not sure what it is yet, but there's got to be a reason. Amen. And maybe it's to make us thankful for this thing called momentum. Amen. But when something has momentum, it's very, very hard to stop. You remember the story about the little train, you know, that was trying to climb the mountain, and he was going up. He said, I think I can. And the higher he got, the slower it got. I think I can. And then about the time he got to the top and he started saying, I think I can, because he's going down the other side. And that's momentum. It slows down going up. But then once you get to the peak and you cross over, then the momentum is fierce and fast, and it's almost unstoppable. Because a train, you know, it just can't stop very easy once it gets going. Takes a lot to get it going, but once it starts and reaches its peak, it's almost unstoppable. Same thing with a ship in the sea. You know, you can't just stop a ship once it's going. It's going to keep going for a while. It takes a while and a long time for it to be able to maneuver and turn because of its momentum. But momentum has value. The momentum in a river is something that we observe, and we have rivers around here, and different kinds of rivers, different kinds of bodies of water. Some rivers don't have very much momentum. They're slow moving. The Platte River up in North Dakota it's a real wide river, but it's a real shallow river. And so it doesn't have much momentum. Therefore, it doesn't have much power to overcome anything. But down in South America, the Amazon River is a powerful river. It has many tributaries. And all of those tributaries come together and finally pour into the massive Amazon. And it makes its way eastward. And it empties out into the Atlantic. And they say, I haven't been there, but I read that you can actually go out into the Atlantic more than 100 miles and there's still fresh water because of the force of the Amazon when it gets into the ocean. It forces back those salt waters because of the momentum it has. It has gathered through the multiplied trillions of molecules of water that have accumulated, and through the tributaries and the rivers that join, and finally at its river head, it pushes far out and drives everything out of its way. Nothing can stand in the way of that kind of momentum. Here in the book of Ezekiel, the Bible is talking about, it's a spiritual thing actually, because there are no rivers that flow into Jerusalem. The prophet said that the angel took him to the temple. Now the temple is on top of a hill or a mountain, and there's no water that flows up that hill. So the water that's up there has to be provided. They have to pipe the water up there. But he saw a vision, and in this vision he saw some water that was springing up inside the temple. And he watched as that water collected, and then it began to run down eastward on the north side to the south side of the altar and the right side, and it began to flow along that altar, and then it began to seep out through the threshold. Amen. Let me tell you where revival begins, really. It begins in the house of God. And it begins at an altar. That's where it always starts. It doesn't start in the pulpit, and it doesn't start in the pew. It starts at the altar. Amen. This is where it has to begin. This is where it starts for the pastor, and this is where it starts for you. It always begins at an altar of prayer where we gather in submission, and we gather in contrition, and we pour out our hearts to the Lord God, and He is able to speak to us and use us. And from that communication, the water begins to flow. Hallelujah. And they prayed, and the revival began in the temple, and it began to flow out. And the Bible says, as that water began to flow, it flowed out through the door. And then it began to flow eastward. Now, east of Jerusalem, there's a desert. And that water began to flow. And when he stepped out of the temple, he saw this man there, and he had a measuring device in his hand, and it was 1,000 cubits long. A cubit is more or less 2 feet, as far as we can ascertain. And so 1,000 cubits then would be about 2,000 feet, and that would be a little less than half of a mile. So in half a mile, it went from trickling out from under the door until when he got there, he said it was already up to my ankles. And then he measured another 1,000 cubits, another 2,000 feet, a little less than half a mile. So he goes out, and when he gets there, he said, it's up to my knees. I mean, this river's kind of growing here, isn't it? Amen. And then he goes another 1,000 cubits, just about a little less than half of a mile. And he said, man, he said, it's already waist deep out here. And then he goes a little bit further, and he goes another 4,000 or another 1,000 cubits. And when he gets out there, he said, man, I can't even stand anymore. Amen. He said, now it's waters to swim in. Hallelujah. His feet couldn't touch the bottom. And guess what? It was still flowing. They quit measuring when it got to that point. And it was just a little less than 2 miles from the house of the Lord, but it was still flowing. And as it began to flow, it got deeper and deeper and more powerful. And the momentum would build. And then it goes on to describe some more about that. The Bible says that the man got him out of the river and stood him on the bank. And he said on each side, trees had sprung up. There were trees on the left side, and there were trees on the right side. And those trees are very significant. We read on a little bit further. It says that the trees had fruit on them. And everybody could partake of fruit and for nourishment and for strength and for life. And it said that the leaves on the trees were for healing. Hallelujah. Amen. You could reach out and get a leaf. And you know, that's true, isn't it? There are certain leaves that have medicinal value. And they actually treat sicknesses and illnesses that we human beings have. So there are certain things that, and the Bible talks about in Revelation chapter 22, that there's another river, and it says in that river that there's going to be healing for the nations. Hallelujah. It has different kinds of fruit on the tree. That's an interesting tree, isn't it? And there's not any like that. And the tree of life is there that disappeared from the Garden of Eden. Amen. But this river was flowing. The trees spring up on the banks. There's life. There's refreshing everywhere this river is flowing. And the Bible said that everywhere that river touched, things that were lame and things that were sick and things that were weak were healed and strengthened. And it says that it flowed all the way down into apparently what is the, as we know it today, it's called the Dead Sea. Now, it's called the Dead Sea because that's what it is. It's dead. It is so salty that nothing can live in it. Have you ever tasted water at the ocean and how salty it is? The salt sea or the Dead Sea is 6 times more salty than ocean water. It is so salty there's not anything that lives in it. And one reason nothing can live in it is because it has no outlet. The river, the Jordan flows into the Dead Sea, but it has no outlet. It has nothing to go to. It just stops right there. Now that's kind of a danger for us tonight to understand. If everything flows into you and nothing flows out of you, that there's a good sign that there's not going to be much life. It's a good way to die is to just become a recipient without being a giver. That everything flows in, but nothing flows out. Amen. It's kind of like the difference in a well and a cistern. Amen. You know, a well, it has an inner source where the water comes from. It replenishes itself. There's always something flowing on the inside of a well. But a cistern is something that is dug in a place and it doesn't renew itself from within. It has to receive something from without. And if there's not something flowing into it, then it becomes dry and cracked, and it will destroy itself. It's important, folks, that we have something on the inside that renews us. Hallelujah. That we have a life source. That we have a spring on the inside. Jesus talked about that, didn't he? In the book of John, chapter 4, when he was talking to the woman at the well, he said this at Jacob's well, and that well's been flowing for more than 2,000 years. And probably 3,000 years plus. And he said to her, he said, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him, but that water that I shall give him shall be in him." Everybody say, in him. A well of water springing up into everlasting life. Hallelujah. Amen. There's something in us tonight. Praise the Lord. I've said it before, I'll say it again. The Bible said that little lady, she left her bucket at the well, and she ran back into the city. She didn't need a bucket because she'd found the well. Hallelujah. Heaven, when you find the well, you don't worry about the bucket. You don't worry about, "Here's my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord," because you got a well and it's springing up, hallelujah, on the inside. And there's a refreshing that's going on. There's a life source that is renewing itself within us tonight. Jesus gave us that kind of well. John chapter 7, verse 38 and 39. Jesus said it again to a crowd at the great feast. "And he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which was not yet, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." But he's talking here about the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He said, and when you get it, he said, it's going to be like a well. Springing up. Hallelujah. Amen. It's going to be in you. It's going to be living waters. It's going to flow like a river. Amen. It's important, folks, that we keep that river flowing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That we let something flow out of us. I read a story one time about a town that had a beautiful well. It was one of the most scenic things. It was so beautiful. And that well would spring up, and it created a little river that would flow. And ducks would swim on the water, and fish would swim in the stream, and birds would flock to it and drink from its water. And flowers grew up along it, and beautiful trees. And it was a little paradise because it was a beautiful park. And they had a man that they hired, and he was called the keeper of the spring. And his job was to make sure that it stayed clean. And his job was to come and make sure that the source was unclogged, and that the waters could flow freely, and that it didn't get any debris in there that would stop things up. So finally they went over the city budget, and they said, we've got to cut somewhere. And you know that guy that takes care of the spring? He's not doing much. He doesn't seem very important. So I think we could probably just cut his salary and get rid of him. And so that's what they did. They got rid of the keeper of the spring. And they said, "We don't need you anymore." And gave him his severance and sent him on his way. Well, it wasn't too long before they noticed that the water wasn't as pure as it used to be. And the debris began to get in the stream, and the ducks flew away, and the birds didn't return, and the flowers began to die, and the grass was not as green and beautiful, and everything began to die around that spring, and it became stinking, and it would get clogged, and it didn't flow like it did, and its stream became small and pitiful. And they realized that they'd made a mistake. So they went back to the keeper of the spring, and they said, "Sir, we've made a mistake. We need somebody. We need you to come back, clean this thing up." And it wasn't long before it was flowing again. Amen. I'm saying tonight you need a keeper of the spring. Amen. You need to keep the spring clean. You need to keep it unobstructed. You need to keep the debris out of it. Amen. Now that's exactly what the Holy Ghost does for us. It helps us to keep the spring clean. It's both the source and it's the keeper. Amen. It is the source of the spring, and it tells us what to do to keep the spring clean. But we start getting carnal in our thinking. We get bitterness in our spirit. We get jealousy in our spirit. And it begins to pollute the waters. And things cannot live in that kind of a situation. And we begin to dry up. Amen. It's not worth it, folks. No matter what has happened to you, bitterness is not worth the price. Unforgiveness is not worth the price. Amen. You have to forgive not only for the sake of those that have wronged you, but for your own sake. You need to understand that if anything pollutes my purity, if anything pollutes my spirit, then it's gonna taint everything that it touches. And I will begin to pollute others around me. It's important that you keep it clean tonight. Amen. So Jesus said, it's going to be in you, springing up. It's going to be a river flowing out. Hallelujah. And that isn't that what Ezekiel saw? That's exactly what he saw. He saw a revival, and it started in Jerusalem, and it started at the temple. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so revival started there. And he watched it. He said, and he watched that water as it went out, and it passed through the desert. And the desert began to bloom. Flowers started growing there. Grass was growing there. Trees were growing there. Life was in the desert where it had not been before. Hallelujah. And then it says that fish filled the stream. Not just a few, but many. And fishermen began to... They didn't fish, as I said, Sunday. They were not fishing with poles and canes and rod and reels, but they were fishing with nets. They were out to get some fish, folks. Amen. Because there was a river, and it had some momentum, and it was flowing, and nothing could get in its way. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm talking about the river of revival tonight. Jesus is the head of it all. He's the source. He's where it springs from. The Bible said he came to his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Hallelujah. He gives us power to become something that we're not. The Bible said in him was life. Hallelujah. Amen. He's the source of life tonight. He said, the word I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So that river started in Jesus Christ. Amen. Everywhere he went, there was life. When he was walking in the city of Nain, and they saw a funeral procession, and there was a boy that they were going the way to bury, and he stopped the funeral procession. And he went over and he took the young man by the hand and he lifted him up and he lived. Hallelujah. You talk about a revival in a little town called Nain. Amen. There was excitement because there was life there. Hallelujah. He went to the Jairus, was one of the great leaders and an influential noble man, and his daughter was dying, and by the time they got to the house she had already died. Jesus put everybody out but Peter and John, and he went over to where the little girl was and the parents, and he took the little girl by the hand and he said, I say, arise. Amen. And suddenly lifeless eyes lit up. And the little heart began to pound in her chest. And suddenly the flush of life returned to her cheeks. Strength returned to her muscle structure. And she stood up. Hallelujah. And she was alive. Praise God. I'm telling you, there's life in him. There's life in him. Amen. His friend Lazarus had been in a grave for 4 days when he got there. And they were afraid to roll away the stone because he's stinking by now. We can't do that, Lord. He said, you just roll away the stone. I'll take care of the rest. And they rolled away the stone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Jesus lifted up his voice and said, Lazarus, come forth. Hallelujah. I'm going to talk to Lazarus one of these days when I get to heaven. And I'm going to say, I want you to tell me about that, bud. How was it? Hey, man, I got a feeling he's going to say, well, I don't know. I was up here walking around with a bunch of these guys, Moses and Elijah. We were having a good time. And all of a sudden, I heard my friend's voice. And I recognized that's Jesus. And so I said, hey, we'll see you later. I got to go right now. Hey, man, so from the celestial, he came back to the terrestrial. Hey, man, moved back into that human form, hopped out there in his grave clothes. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hey, and even at Calvary, the Bible said whenever he died and when he resurrected, the Bible said there were some saints that came out of their tombs in Jerusalem. Now that would have been an interesting thing. Somebody pushing their cart in the Jerusalem Walmart. And there was Uncle Billy that died years ago. Woo! And there was Aunt Myrtle coming right along behind him. My, what an exciting time. I'm sending him, there's life. Amen. And the Bible said if the Spirit that was in Christ dwells also in your mortal body, it shall quicken you. It'll give you life. Amen. And so Jesus is that life source. Praise the Lord. And he began to share that at Pentecost. Hallelujah. The Bible said when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place with one accord. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house when they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Hallelujah. And it got exciting about that time. It got exciting about that time. Amen. And the Bible said people started listening and they heard them and they were talking in all these different languages. And every man could understand. Woo! It was exciting about that time. And they started saying, what in the world, are these guys drunk or what? And Peter didn't say that he was not. He just said, but not as you suppose. Amen. This is not Jack Daniels. Amen. This is Holy Ghost. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Hallelujah. And then he started preaching to them. He was at Solomon's porch. Amen. That was where this water was flowing from that Ezekiel saw. Hallelujah. The Bible said when he got through preaching, 3,000 people were filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized that day. A couple of days later, 5,000 more were filled. And then the Bible said God added to the church daily. And a little bit later it says, and the church multiplied. Amen. And finally, it says, they which have turned the world upside down have come hither also. What are you talking about? I'm talking about that revival. It started with Jesus Christ and a handful of saints. Amen. And then 120, and then 3,000, and then 5,000, and then an innumerable company of saints. It was a revival. Everywhere it flowed, started in Jerusalem. Isn't that what he said? He said, after when you receive the Holy Ghost, he said, you'll be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. And that's exactly what happened. Hallelujah. It started out in Jerusalem and then it spread out through Judea. And then Philip went up and started preaching in Samaria. And revival came to Samaria. Amen. And then from Samaria, it spread to the Gentiles. Amen. And once it started in Antioch, the first church that ever preached purposefully to Gentiles. They preached to Gentiles on purpose. They said, if this is good for us, It's good for anybody. Hallelujah. And they purposely started preaching to Gentiles, and revival came. And that river was flowing. Hallelujah. And then they said, hey, separate me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work whereunto I have called them. And they started missionary journeys. And every city that they went to, they had revival. They might have had a riot first, but it wound up in revival. Amen. They may have been stoned and persecuted. Amen. But they'd push the rocks off and climb back up and go back in and preach some more. And revival came to the city. All through Asia Minor, the word spread. All through Europe, the word spread. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, it started small and then it became a river. And everywhere it went, there was life. Praise the Lord. You know what? It's still flowing. Hallelujah. It's still flowing. I'm so glad that it was flowing in Amarillo, Texas on June the 19th of 1967 when a little old boy, 15-year-old young man, came down to an altar waiting up for the Holy Ghost, and God filled him with the Holy Ghost, laying in the sawdust there at that old altar in the old tabernacle. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's been more than 40 years ago, but it's still flowing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's here tonight. It's in this house right now. It's still flowing today. It hasn't stopped. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And it's still flowing. Praise God. Anybody feel the river tonight? Anybody feel life tonight? Hallelujah. I felt it when I come in. Amen. I felt it when we started singing. I felt it when we started worshiping. I felt it when we started clapping. I felt it when I started preaching. Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, it's still here. That river still flowing tonight. Oh, it's a mighty river now. Nothing's going to stop it. Nothing's going to stop it. Amen. The devil, sometimes he comes and says, you know what? He says, you're not going to make it. Long as I stay in the water, I'm going to make it. Long as I stay in the river, I'm going to make it. Hallelujah. Hey, church, you know what? Long as we stay in the river, we're going to make it. Not only are we going to make it, we're going to increase. Amen. We're going to become stronger and stronger. We're going to gain momentum until it's going to start flowing outside. Now, that's what we want to see. Amen. Had a friend, he was praying in his church. He's a pastor, and he was praying. He said, Lord, I want you to reach out somebody driving by and just reach out like a fish hook and get a hook in their jaw and draw them in here. Amen. And sure enough, next Sunday there was a new man sitting on the pew. Now Phil Schaefer's a big man. He's big man. But this guy made him look small. He was a big man. And as soon as he got through the service, he came down, he had tears in his eyes running down his cheeks. And he said, Preacher, he said, I don't know what's going on. He said, I was just driving by in my car. And he said, it was like a fish hook reached out and got a hold of me and drug me in here. Amen. Philip started shouting and rejoicing with him. Amen. He said, that's exactly what I've been praying for. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It just got a hold of him. Amen. I've heard prayer meetings and the old timers talk about it. It's time to start talking about it and start doing it. But they said they would have such powerful prayer meetings that people would run in off the streets and said, we were passing by and we saw a fire and we wanted to come in here and see what it was all about. Amen. Well, there was the only fire that was there was the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. That's what they were seeing. Praise the Lord. But it brought them in. That's the river. That's the river. Everywhere it goes, everything it touches, it brings life. It brings life. It brings life. It brings peace. It brings joy. Amen. Everywhere the river flows, things are good. Our city deserves a river. You know what? Athens deserves a river. Amen. We don't want to be a trickle. And we don't want to be a creek. Amen. We want to be a river. We don't want to be a lake. We want to be a river. Hallelujah. Amen. Something with some momentum. Praise the Lord. Amen. I heard about a fellow, a guy asked him to go talk to his daughter. He said, my daughter, she's been away from the Lord a good while. And I wish you'd just go talk to her. See if she'll be interested in coming back. When we get those kind of calls, you know, it's kind of hard because you don't know how you're going to be received. So, the father's really interested, but you don't know if the person you talk to is going to be receptive or not. And so, but anyway, he got a young man in the church, and so they went to talk to the daughter. And when they got there, they knocked on the door, and the girl opened the door. And they explained their business. I'm pastor and brother so-and-so, and we wanted to come, and your father had called and asked us to come and invite you to church. And she stood there, and she said, no. She said, I appreciate that, but I'm not interested right now. I'm not really ready to come back to God at this point in time. I appreciate your concern, but I really I'm not interested. And when she said that, it was as if that young man's heart broke. There was a spirit of travail came upon him. And he couldn't help himself. If you've ever had that happen to you, it's not something you turn off and on. It's just something God sends. And the Lord just gripped him, and suddenly he began to cry and weep, and he began to speak in tongues. And he spoke in tongues for a minute or so, and suddenly the door opened on the other side. And a young lady stepped out, and she had a look of shock on her face. She looked out and she said, what's going on here? They asked her, well, why do you ask? She said, she told what country she was from. I don't remember the country. She said, somebody was speaking in my language. And I haven't heard my language in a long time. I just heard somebody calling my name, speaking my language, and inviting me. And she said, I just wanted to see. And then they began to explain to her what was going on, that it was the Holy Ghost that had actually spoken to her. Isn't that amazing? Do you see the workings of God here? How that he took a backslidden daughter and moved her right beside a hungry heart. And she wasn't interested, but right next door, there was somebody that was crying for the river. I just need a drink. Hey, let it flow this way. And so the Lord said, I'm going to direct the river right over that direction. Amen. And you know what happened? That lady received it that day. She was baptized with the Holy Ghost in her living room. And guess who was baptized in the Holy Ghost, renewed in the Holy Ghost with her? That girl that didn't want it. She said, I think I want it now. Amen. And she prayed through also. Praise God. That's the river. That's the river. Wherever it comes, there's life. Amen. The Cache River in Illinois flows for 180 miles. But 144 miles of that are crooks. It's the most crooked river in the country. 144 miles. It just doubles back and makes crooks. If you go from one end to the other as the crow flies, it's only 36 miles. That river wastes 144 miles just trying to go 36 miles. Now the reason it does that is because it has no strength. It just flows around everything. Every little obstacle, it can't roll over it, and it can't push it out of the way, so it has to go around it. It takes all of its strength just to go 36 miles. But when it gets to Cairo, Illinois, it empties into the Ohio River. And the Ohio River empties into the Mississippi River. You see, it's a small river. It doesn't have any force. But when it finally gets to its head, it flows right there into the Ohio, which is a mighty river. Then that flows into the Mississippi, which is a mightier river. Amen. And so, you see, sometimes we may feel like the Cache River. Lord, we sure are doing a lot of wondering here. It's kind of like some of our preaching, isn't it? Is he ever going to get to the point? And so we're making the way. Hey, but we know where we're going. Amen. And we're almost there. Amen. So it makes its way. But then finally it joins up with something more powerful than itself. That's it. You got to join with something more powerful than yourself. And that's what the river does. Hey, we're not just a little tributary out here all by ourselves. We are contributing to something much greater. Amen. Praise the Lord. Friday night, we had such a tremendous message. Brother Chad Roberts preached over in Corsicana, and he talked about all we need is a move of the Holy Ghost. And I agree with him. Praise the Lord. That's what we've got to have, folks. Nothing else. There's no substitute for that. You can't get enough money to substitute for it. You can't get enough talent to substitute for it. Nothing. You can't have enough influence. You can't have a building that's beautiful enough. You can't have a choir that's talented enough. And there's no substitute for the moving of the Spirit of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together tonight. There's a marvel of momentum. We are building towards something here. Anybody, can you feel that building going on? Something that we're just building. Something's building here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And we're gaining focus. And we're gaining more force as we go along. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, we're going to have a time when it's going to flow. God wants it to flow. Amen. And there's going to be more life. Amen. More people receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. More healings and miracles, not because we're anything, but because where the river flows, there's healing. Amen. Where the river flows, there's life. Everywhere it goes, everything it touches, it can change and transform. Amen. God, we want to be that river today, and we want to gain a great momentum so that when we get there, we'll be able to change what needs to be changed. Amen. Praise God. Anybody tonight, you need that river. Amen. On the inside, something's dry. Amen. You don't feel that springing up. Hallelujah. That joy and that peace and that power. Amen. It's yours tonight. God wants to put a river on the inside of you. And you can have that tonight. Amen. If you'll just come to this altar and lift up your hands and begin to worship God with everything that's in you, praise without any doubt. Amen. He will fill you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, this bottle is full right now. But if this bottle were empty, you see, if I took this bottle here and I put the top back on it, then I would take this bottle, empty or full, and I could put it into a river, and really nothing would happen. It would be in the river, but the river wouldn't be in the bottle. It would be drug along. It would be moved. But there would be no change. It would still be an empty bottle. But if I were to take the top off of the same empty bottle and then I put it in the river, what would happen? I put it in the water in the river and all of a sudden something happens. Glug, 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 glug. And in a little while, not only is the bottle in the river, but the river is in the bottle. And they become one. And it takes on a whole different property then. You see, that's what happens when we take the top off. Because the Spirit of the Lord is everywhere. He's everywhere. So the only way we keep Him out is to keep the lid on. But when we take the lid off and open ourselves up, then He can fill us. And not only are we in the river and we feel its effects, but the river's in us. Amen. That's the importance of being filled tonight with the Holy Ghost. And it's good to feel the Holy Ghost on the outside, but it's even better to have it on the inside. Amen. So that you're not just in the river, but the river's also in you. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so I invite you tonight, If you're not, if you're in the river, that's good, but if the river's not in you, amen. I invite you to come and let it fill you. Praise the Lord. Let it fill you. Hallelujah. Because He wants to fill us up here tonight. Amen. He's anxious. He's willing. He's ready. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's begin to talk to the Lord here. Amen. Saints of God, it would be good if you'd just gather around the front of this building tonight. Amen. Begin to praise God. Begin to worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank Him because we're the river. Hallelujah. Thank Him because He has given you a river on the inside. Hallelujah. God, I thank You tonight for the power of the Holy Ghost. In this day of darkness, and in this day of sin, and in this day of unrighteousness, thank You, Lord, for the Holy Ghost that can keep us, that can provide us all that we need. Hallelujah. That we'll have light in the darkness. Pray that we'll have purity in the midst of unrighteousness. God, but You can keep us. You can guard us. You can guide us. You can lead us. You can feed us. You can fill us. God, You can make us what You want us to be. Hallelujah. We are willing vessels. We open our hearts. We lift our hands. God, we ask You to fill us tonight. Refill us tonight. Keeper of the spring, come tonight. Lord Jesus, if I've allowed some bitterness to get into my spirit, take it out. If I've allowed a spirit of jealousy to get inside, forgive me, Lord. Help me, God, to get over that. Help me, Lord Jesus, to focus on You. Amen. Help us to have the love of God that will cleanse us, God, and give us a right motive and give us a right perspective. Hallelujah. So that we understand there's no need for jealousy in the kingdom. There's no need for bitterness in the kingdom. I've been forgiven. Help me to be forgiven. You help me to forgive. You help me tonight, Lord, because You have so freely forgiven me all of my transgressions and all of my sins. And I've no right tonight to withhold anything from anybody. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Renew us tonight, Jesus, in the Holy Ghost. Let that river, O Lord, flow in this house. Let it touch every life of every individual. Praise the Lord. Let it flow into the sanctuary. Let it flow, God, into the annex and touch the youth and the children. Let it flow outside the doors of the church into the streets of the city. Let it touch the people passing by. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Touch us, Jesus. Cleanse us, O Lord. Fill us, mighty God, with the power of Your Holy Spirit. Use us, Lord, for Your glory and for Your honor. Hallelujah. Help us to bring life. Help us to bring peace. Help us to bring joy and contentment into the lives of individuals, of people all around us. Hallelujah. I want to bring hope, God. I want to bring light to a situation, not just heat. Praise the Lord. I want to help others to see clearly this glorious gospel in its power, in its beauty, in its strength. Hallelujah. Help us tonight, Jesus. Hallelujah. Help us always to bring peace in every situation. Help us to have the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. We're not interested in just winning arguments, God. We want to win souls. We want to win people and touch lives and see them changed for the better, O God. As You have changed and helped and cleansed and saved us, God, help us to reach out to others that they'll have the same hope and the same peace and the same righteousness through the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Fill me, O Lord. Fill me, O Lord. Fill me, O Lord. Hallelujah. Gracious God, we love You. Gracious God, we love You. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. 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 Amen. I love you, Jesus Christ. I love you, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You're my everything tonight. You are my all. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, I thank you tonight, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, the Lord. Praise you, the Lord. Praise you, the Lord. Praise you, the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Brother Fry was driving a truck down 31. Oh, I don't know. I think he said 20 plus years ago. And he was away from the Lord. Far away from the Lord. And as he drove by, the Holy Ghost struck him and he couldn't see. He began to weep profusely. And the Lord said, go to that church right there. And he pulled his truck up into the parking lot. And he sat out there and he wept and cried for a long time. He didn't come right then. He came to the Lord when he got to Ennis. He prayed back through there some years later. It took him a long time to get here. But he's here. Amen. Praise the Lord. I believe God will talk to people. Amen. Folks, what we're working on right now is momentum. Praise the Lord. It takes a little while to get some speed up. But once you get some speed up, amen. I don't know if you ever tried to tackle somebody that's running. But when you do, you're going to suffer a little bit if you stop him. So you grit your teeth because you know it's going to hurt. Because he's got some momentum. If he don't have any momentum, it's easy to take him down. But if he's running, you may stop him, but you're going to pay for it. Amen. And you hit them hard enough and long enough, they'll let you go. They don't want to stop you because they don't want to pay the price. Amen. And so I'm just serving notice here tonight to the devil. You may try to stop it, but it's going to cost you something. Amen. It's going to hurt. Amen. Because we're getting more and more momentum. Every service, we're going to gain a little bit more. We're going to hit a little bit harder. We're going to go a little bit faster. Amen. Praise God. And so then we'll just roll right over the situation and keep right on going. Praise the Lord. We've had a little opposition. Don't let that discourage you. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, anytime there's something going on, the devil's going to try to stop it. He wouldn't worry about it if there wasn't something going on. But there's something going on. And we're gaining some momentum. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, where in the world is everybody tonight? I'll tell you where they are. They're right over there. But you know, this is what we used to have right here. And now we got this and that. Praise the Lord. So I thank God for that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so I thank God for the momentum that we're gaining. Progress we're making. Hallelujah. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. Amen. All right. God bless you. Let's stand together tonight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord is here. And I'm so thankful tonight. I never want to take for granted the presence of God. Ever. You ever want to rush from His presence? Amen. I think every service we ought to leave with great reluctance. Amen. Praise the Lord. I remember, I'm going to hush with this, I promise. That's a dangerous thing to do. I had the privilege a number of years ago to go to Israel, and we went to Jerusalem, and we actually had a communion service in the Garden Tomb, in the place where they say the tomb was, and very possibly it was, I don't know, but we had a wonderful move. We had our communion service, Holy Ghost move, tongues interpretation. You know what it's like. It's like here, beautiful Spirit of God. And as soon as we stepped out of the gate of that garden, people were trying to sell us a bunch of junk. And all of a sudden, that holiness, that stillness, that beauty was challenged by the world trying to crowd into our thoughts, into our spirit, the communion that we just had with the Lord. Amen. That's why I never want to hasten to get out of God's presence. Because I know once I walk out the door, it's a different world out there. It's not bad. We've got to live out there. I understand that. We can't stay here all the time. But let's just don't rush to get out there. Because as long as we're here, there's communion with the Holy Ghost, the sweet Spirit of God. Then you go out there and there's all the competition, daily business, things you got to take care of, the pressures, the cares of the world. And then it's just life. It's the way life is. The Holy Ghost will help us once we get out there. But I never want to hasten to get out of His presence. Amen. Because there's no place like the presence of the Lord. Amen. That's why I don't really understand when service is over and people can't wait to get out. It kind of bothers me a little bit. Like, what's the rush? This is where it is. This is what it's all about. Amen. And people, you know, reluctant to get to the front, you know. I want to see the day when people can't wait to get to the front. Amen. Matter of fact, when there's not even enough room at the front. Praise God. We have to stand all down the aisle. You've got to come early if you want to get to the altar. Praise God. That's a good thing. That's momentum. All right. God bless you. Amen. Isn't this beautiful? The presence of the Lord that's here tonight. Sweet, sweet Spirit of the Lord. Thank God for what we feel in this house. Amen. All right. God bless you. Brother Marshall, why don't you dismiss us with a word of prayer? If you would please, over in the annex, we're going to be celebrating Sister Brandy Neal's birthday. So let's go over. There's some refreshments there. Good time of food and fellowship. So let's go over and enjoy some food and fellowship and give our condolences and congratulations to Sister Brandy on her birthday.